With God's purpose in giving you mercy, there's Pastor Ed Ray.
God's mercy through you as the vessel comes out in a different way than the person next to you. You have ways of displaying God's mercy that others do not have. Your story, the path that you're on, the course of life, means that you bring a uniqueness to the good news, to his gospel. What a privilege he's talking about. He's given you mercy to give it away to others.
Zion, all now filled with hands, and in this place gotta dwell with man. Sick be healed and the crippled stand, singing hallelujah. My kingdom built with the blood of my son, selfless sacrifice for everyone. Faith, hope, love, and harmony. I said, let this world know me by your love.
Mercy has been described as love in action. Shakespeare called mercy the badge of nobility. So to become a channel for the mercy of God that it might be passed on to others is a privilege. Well, hello and welcome to Grow in Grace with Pastor Ed Ray. We aim to cover 1 Peter chapter 2 and discover who we are in the Lord. That knowledge greatly helps to undergird us as instruments of mercy in the face of conflict and suffering from an often cruel and undeserving world. Here now with today's lesson is Pastor Ed.
Going through the Bible verse by verse, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter writes, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved by God, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, non-believers, that when they speak against you as an evildoer, they may by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Let's stop there and pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. How we need it. Now teach us that we might understand your heart and be doers of the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Mother's Day. Somebody sent me a number of Mother's Day reminders. Little girl Amy sent a note to her pastor which read, "Dear Pastor, I heard you say to love our enemies. I am only 6 and do not have any yet. I hope to have some when I am 7. Oh, they're coming. Sunday school teacher told the whole prodigal son story and then asked the question, "Was anyone sorry with the prodigal son's return?" Little boy answered, "The fatted calf." Cartoon New Yorker magazine, father scowling over a bad report card of his son, and the little boy stood by and asked, "What do you think it is, Dad, heredity or environment?" Smart kid. So we've gathered here today and we've already prayed. It is interesting that one of the main themes of this area that we're looking at this morning is mercy. And my mom gave me a lot of mercy. God bless her. She's with the Lord right now. But thank you for your mercy to us, ladies. Peter is writing to a group of Jews, Messianic Jews, who have been forced out of Rome, the city of Rome, and the surrounding suburbs. And it's about 64 AD. They are in what we would call Turkey today, Asia Minor then, in the various provinces of the Roman Empire there. Many of them fled in the middle of the night in fear of their life because Nero, the maniacal Caesar, was murdering Christians. So this letter is a letter of encouragement to a group of people who are living in a very ungodly society, an unbelieving world. And Peter is telling them it's their opportunity to display how believers act under pressure, under suffering, under dire straits. They're being watched at this point, as are you, believers. Everything said here in the first century is still happening to this day. They're under scrutiny and accusation because they have this relationship, they say, with God. And so the world is looking for a way to disprove that. The world is desperately looking for a way to prove that there is not a God. And the Christians are all phonies. They're all hypocrites. We live in that same sort of pressure cooker situation today. More so, it seems, every day. So there are certain ground rules that we need to put in place, have in place in our lives. Verse 12, I read it, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, among those who don't believe. Don't give them anything to accuse God about. Peter is saying that we need to have an inward purity of life that matches our outward words, that we don't just talk the talk, but we walk the walk. This section covers a lot of area. In verse 9 and 10, who we are, pretty sweeping statement from God's perspective. Who you say I am, we did that song again this morning to remind you that God's view of you is probably different than your own view. Who you say that we are, 9 and 10. Then sojourners and pilgrims, two words of the impermanence of life here on planet Earth, 11 and 12. And then what I personally believe is the most difficult thing in Christendom. If you say, I don't understand the Trinity, I'd agree. But the most difficult thing to do in Christianity is this subject, submission. To submit to, he lists a long and very sweeping group of people from the king. We don't have a king since 1776, but we have a president. We have a Congress, and we have a judicial system, and we have police officers, and even firemen, and we have some of you who are in school, professors, and bosses at work, and supervisors over you at whatever you do. So it's a really important area, and one that most of us are a little bit repelled by. Now, maybe not the second service, but the rest of the church tends to be a group of black-hearted ex-pirates who God is still trying to get the rough edges off so we don't pillage and burn all the local villages, that kind of a thing. Submission is the key to that. Let's jump in and see what God might say to us. First of all, who he says that we are. God says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of God who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Woo! Big, broad view of who God says that we are. I think most of us don't live like we believe this. He says we are chosen by God. He's the first cause. He decided to reach down and to save you. God has reached into the teeming masses of humanity, someone wrote, lost humanity and grabbed you for himself. Now, the truth is, we'll see in just a few chapters, that God would that none would perish and that all would come to repentance. He wants everyone on the planet to come, but few will respond to his call, his choosing. So those surrendered to him are a new creation. He does a great deal of revitalizing who we are and what we are. Secondly, he says we're a royal priesthood. It's actually from Exodus chapter 19. The Hebrew passage which Peter's referring to says, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure, precious, for the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests a kingdom of priests, a royal priesthood is the way that Peter says it here in the Greek language. We have unrestricted, unhindered access into the presence of God, boldly come into a throne room of grace. Because we deserve it? No. But because he chooses to give grace to all who humble themselves to him. You have access to God, direct access, a great privilege. You are a priest in the sense that the Latin term is a bridge builder. So you and I have been given the privilege of building bridges between God and people that we interact with, people that we know, some we love, part of our family, friends. God is calling us to reach those in a very tangible way. And he's going to say how we are to do that. So we are called this royal group, and we have access to him. We are also a holy nation, a set-aside nation. Literally, the word hagios here in the Greek language means sanctified. That's not something you do. That's not something I do. It's something that God does when we surrender to him. And it's a daily task. He's sanctifying you right now. He's sanctifying me right now. We're sitting under the word. We're learning it. We're listening to it. We're trying to take it apart so we understand the mind of God. What he says is right for us, good for us to do. So we are this set apart group of people.
We want to thank those of you listening to Grow in Grace with Pastor Ed Ray. We'd love to send you a free book as a thank you for letting us know what station you're listening on. The book is How to Pray, the Best of John Wesley on Prayer. John Wesley was known for many things: his preaching, his writing, books and hymns, his compassion for the poor. But underlying all of his amazing achievements was his devotion to prayer. Drawing on Wesley's writings, this book provides a glimpse into his heart of prayer. Whether he's explaining the Lord's Prayer or simply showing the role of prayer in other areas of life, Wesley offers many helpful insights into this most vital of Christian activities. To receive your free book, please send an email to packinghouseradio@aol.com with the station call letters of your station, and we'll send this book to you immediately. Thank you so much for helping us to discern where the program is having its greatest impact. The address again is packinghouseradio@aol.com. Be sure to include your station call letters. Now with more on who we are, or you could say who we're in the process of becoming, is Pastor Ed. We'll start at verse 9.
We have a call on our lives, and it's a process. You will not arrive as long as you're breathing. I'm not arriving. I'm just working my way along the path like everybody else. So he's changing us, though. We pray. As a brand new Christian, we don't know what to say. In fact, we probably all said some things when we were brand new Christians that we were embarrassed about. We wouldn't even think about saying to God now. His shoulders are real broad. He can handle it. And witnessing, acts of faith, lots of areas, acts of love, kindness, forgiveness. They're proof that God is working in our lives. That we'd even consider forgiving people is a major step in most believers' lives. His own special, King James says, peculiar people. The Apostle Paul writes to Titus, and he says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, purify unto himself, sanctify to himself, a peculiar people, different. Now, we have this new classification. Some translations say a precious people, a purchased possession, it suggests. Something of rare beauty and of priceless nature. He paid a high price for us, the highest. Came, gave his own life for you. He took us from somewhere into something, out of darkness, caught up in dark paths, the darkness of ignorance, error, sin, misery. God took us from being blind spiritually to now being able to see, maybe just a little bit. Maybe you're new in the Lord and it's like the light, it's too bright. But that's a process also. And he calls us out of darkness, his voice, and then he brings us into the marvelous light, the God of light. We were stuck in something that we thought was right, at least most of us. I was convinced. There's a way that seems right to a man, that Proverbs 16 says, but the end of it is the way of death. Seemed like we're here just to have fun, enjoy it, love life, go for it. Get all you can and can all you get, right? But then God begins to open up our mind when we surrender to him, and he makes changes in our psyche that we never saw coming. Our worldview radically changed because of the light that he gives us. Verse 10, who once were not a people, genos, the Greek word, but are now the people of God. We belong to him who have not obtained mercy, had not in the past. We didn't have any mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. In every section I take, particularly of the letters, the epistles, I ask God to show me his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness, his love. And this is the verse that just jumps out at me. It's actually a quote from Hosea, Old Testament prophet. God said, and I will sow her to me in the earth, people of God. And I will have mercy on no mercy, people that don't deserve it. It wouldn't be mercy if it was deserved. And I will say to not my people, that would be you and I, you are my people. And they shall say, my God. Momentous statement from God. Need to kind of put that one in your brain. Think about it later. God says, you're supposed to call him my God. Take ownership. He's the one who holds on to me, who keeps me in the center of his hand. I get to call God my God because mercy. Not because I deserve it, because I didn't get what I deserved, which was judgment. Mercy, we saw in James chapter 2. Mercy triumphs over judgment. It's God's desire to give mercy. He says he is merciful. He's got plenty. He's given it away. We have to receive it. He doesn't want to judge people. It's not the heart of God. The heart of God is a father. The father heart of God, a friend of mine wrote a book with that title. I just love the title. The God is father-hearted towards you and me. It's to give mercy. He doesn't want to spoil brats, but he does want to give mercy to his children. Pastor, I don't feel like talking to God. He knows that. Thoughts that are in our mind that haven't even come out of our mouth yet. He knows all that. May as well just be honest with him. Lord, I have a black heart today. God doesn't grab his head and say, oh no, you do? He's thinking you've had one for a long time. It's about time you grasp the reality. Now give me your heart. Yes, Lord. I don't know why you'd want it. He's probably asked the same question. So we have this gift of mercy. I was reading about mercy, and there was a famous British artist named Sir Edwin Burne-Jones, late 1800s, was walking with a group of his friends, and the subject of God's mercy came up because they were walking in good old rainy England right after a rainstorm. And as they walked, they looked up in front of them. There's this just amazing rainbow that went all the way across the sky. He said it was so brilliant, it was like it was on fire. And someone in the group said, I forget, what makes a rainbow? And Burke said, the Lord set his bow in the clouds. That's the rainbow, or is the result of the flood. It's mercy. And it means mercy. And he shared that with the rest of the group, that it is a symbol of God's mercy. Every time we see a rainbow, we ought to go, mercy, more mercy coming down from heaven. Jesus Christ's mercy is, someone wrote, like water in a vase, it takes the shape of the vessel that holds it. I like that. There's a movie that I don't know anything about. I just saw the title. It's called The Shape of Water. What? Obviously not written by a physicist, but that actually is true in this case. God gives us mercy, so we'll give it away to others. You are the vessel that he chooses to use, and you're a different vessel than the person sitting across from you, next to you, across the room from you. And so God's mercy through you as the vessel comes out in a different way than the person next to you. You have ways of displaying God's mercy that others do not have. Your story, the way God has taken you, the path that you're on, the course of life, means that you bring a uniqueness to the good news, to his gospel. What a privilege he's talking about. He's given you mercy to give it away to others. He hasn't given us judgment so we can give judgment away. He's given us something to give away that in reality is not what we deserve. We deserve judgment, but he's given us mercy. And that's the point of this verse. When American pastor, Puritan pastor Thomas Hooker was on his deathbed, he had friends around him, and one of them asked him, "Are you going to receive the reward of your labors now?" Very eloquent King James English. He said, "No, I'm going to receive mercy." "I'm not going to get what I deserve," he's saying. "That would be the reward of my labors. But I'm getting God's mercy, because that's what he wants to do." And because of that, Peter, in the next verse, starts with that thought. He says, verse 11, "Beloved by God." I don't think you can pause on that concept too often. God loves you. God has a deep, abiding fondness towards you that comes out in wanting the highest good for you. That's what love is. Desiring the highest good for the other person. I think we miss much of what God is trying to say in these letters. They're tucked in here, and you're not really waiting for this to come at you as strongly as it does. God loves you, beloved.
Thanks for listening to Grow in Grace. Today's message is from our pastor and teacher, Ed Ray. You can hear it again at thepackinghouse.org. You'll find all of our recently aired programs right there at thepackinghouse.org, as well as an archive of Pastor Ed's messages. We're also on YouTube, and that's a great way to live stream our services or watch recently delivered messages. Search for Packing House Christian Fellowship, and if you prefer to have a CD copy of today's message, just give us a call toll-free, 844-77-GRACE. Again, we're here to serve you at 844-77-GRACE. As we continue to get the word out on stations like this all across the nation, we're looking to our listeners to help. Even a small donation can have a large impact by God's grace, and whatever comes in goes straight into the ministry. When you support Grow in Grace with a gift of any amount today, be sure to request our featured resource. It's a book called Know Why You Believe by Paul Little. Do science and scripture conflict? Are miracles possible? Is the Christian experience real? Why does God allow suffering and evil? Those are just a few of the challenging questions that Paul encountered during his 25 years of speaking and teaching in the university. Questions like these need solid answers, and this wonderful book will help you to get there. Billy Graham described the book as scholarly, articulate, and simple. Again, we're making it available for a gift of any amount. Just give us a call, 844-77-GRACE. That's 844-77-GRACE. Would you like to put a smile on our face? Just shoot us an email Show us that you're listening. It helps to hear if particular series is benefiting your walk with the Lord. It's encouraging, too. Our email address is packinghouseradio@aol.com. That's packinghouseradio@aol.com. We have another study to look forward to in the New Testament next time on Grow in Grace, Pastor Ed Ray. We'll see you then. This program is listener-supported and brought to you by the Packing House Christian Fellowship in Redlands.
Zion, now filled with hands, and in this place gotta dwell with man. Sick be healed and the crippled stand, singing hallelujah. My kingdom built with the blood of my son, selfless sacrifice for everyone. Faith, hope, love, and harmony. I said, let this world know me by your